Hello, friends. Today is January 8th. It's Tuesday, and it's time for another episode of the Level 1 News.
You know, Krista, I was thinking yesterday about what a strong, modern, independent woman you are, who doesn't need no man. Would you like to make a formal announcement that you are strong and independent?
Strong and independent and engaged, bitches.
Oh. Nice.
Ring by spring. Only 5 years later.
So what do we got in today's episode of the news? Not CES news. I know that.
There's a tie-in to CES in one article, kind of.
Vaguely. But this is government and security news.
There's a lot of news. It's amazing there's so much government news with the government shutdown here in the U.S.
Well, it's not all U.S. government news. Some of it's about China. But we do...
All right.
As one does.
We like to start out, if possible, with Mr. Ajit Pai. Because everybody loves him, you know?
He's America's man.
He's a man of the people.
He's basically doing, like, you know, the walk-off home run, where you know it's going out, so you don't even jog. You just stroll and you soak it in.
High five the other players or whatever. The headline is, Ajit Pai thanks Congress for helping him kill net neutrality rules.
Look how happy he looks in this picture.
The Democratic effort to reverse the repeal fell short as the congressional session ended. But a new congressional session is beginning with more blood and guts.
It is a new congressional session where the Democrats have the House, is that right? The Republicans have the Senate. But it is over. That net neutrality battle is over. He has won. All they can do now is override it with a new net neutrality law.
Yeah. I mean, it's not wrong. The argument that it's like, well, look, the internet hasn't imploded. Net neutrality, you know, we didn't really need that. We can take a light touch approach. But it's kind of a circular argument because it doesn't remember, like Wheeler was like, I would like to take a light touch approach to internet regulation. And then companies started doing all sorts of terrible things. And then they were like, okay, we're going to make the rules. And so it's almost like nobody ever talks about what led to Wheeler doing that in the first place. And I feel like we always have to be reminded of that, which was not in this article.
But they are still doing terrible things.
Yeah. Well,
like they're fighting the municipal broadband worse than they ever did. They're doing some of the...
T-Mobile has been caught red-handed doing some stuff. That's going to play out in a court case probably.
Well, they're... throttling. We've seen some instances of that. I don't think they'll really spin that up yet. I think 2019 will be the year of the rape of net neutrality.
Yeah, two of those things will be mentioned there. But another thing is that a lot of this happens behind closed doors. Like, Comcast can go to Netflix and say, look, we're going to have some negotiations, but you're going to have to sign a non-disclosure agreement that has really severe, egregious penalties if you talk about it, because it will color the public opinion that, you know, we're doing something bad by double-dipping into customers.
Well, Mr. Pai, you know, he enjoys the fruits of his efforts. He's celebrated. And now he's going to get some much-deserved rest.
He's going to see... Oh, wait, no, they're not going to CES because the U.S. government is shut down. He issued a memo that's like, I was going to be at CES to talk about some stuff. The CES organizers have taken his talks off of the agenda. He's not going. And he cited the reason as... government shutdown. Now, last year he didn't go because he cited people were unhappy with him.
Well, I thought he got death threats. Let's be clear.
No, it wasn't just him. The CES people and the government security people were like, no, people want to kill you.
You can't just go places, bud.
You know what else is shut down with this whole shutdown thing? The FCC entirely.
Yeah, the entire...
Would you like to complain about some Comcast shenanigans? Guess
what?
You're
not going to.
There are a couple of parts of it that they consider critical, which really, but the rest of them are just going home. So
hopefully they'll get back pay.
You know who probably is most upset about that news? Ajit Pai's family.
Oh,
burn. Well, we talked about Amazon and their facial recognition system and law enforcement. Generally, at a more local level, have been super interested in it. I think it was like a local police department in Florida that demoed it. We never heard anything else about that. I think that's still ongoing, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the new year it restarted or whatever. But anyway, they are now getting some more high-profile customers.
Amazon's software is going to the FBI. The FBI is trying Amazon's facial recognition software. Now, we don't know anything about this, But the specific example cited by this article is the Las Vegas shooter, where they had to go through all of the footage, and they had like 24/7, like eight staff people or something going through basically continuously. And it's like, oh, the Amazon software could do that in, you know, 24 hours or whatever. The thing that falls short, though, is that they didn't actually do it. Like, they presumably they have the footage, and now they have the software from Amazon. How long did it actually take, and what was the accuracy? It seems like that test would be real easy to do, and this article doesn't have that.
Well, we often will come along, there'll be a story, like a Jeep Pie Stories, that just makes you just viscerally angry. Did you guys see the viral video of the cop shooting the little...
No.
Wiener dog.
Oh, that would make me angry.
Oh, my God. It's way worse than that, because there's a... And I kind of understand, because the dogs were harassing people, and this guy was just refusing to acknowledge the cops. And the cop was like, come over here and talk to me. And he's like, no, I don't have to do that. This is my property. And the cop's like, you will do it. He's like, no, I won't. And the cop's like, oh, yeah, your dog's being aggressive. And just shoots the dog in the face. And you just get that, like... I just want to rip that man's eyeballs out, you know, and I don't even like dogs. This was one of those stories. It was a man who, his wife got a speeding ticket because of a yellow light to a red light.
It was too short.
So he went around the city and timed them and proved that they were being manipulated. And he was fined $500 for claiming that he was an engineer. He has a bachelor's in engineering.
His job title is software engineering.
But he wasn't state certified.
So it's totally different, obviously.
Clearly, they were just abusing their power, because they got called out on doing something that in itself was illegal, or at least immoral. But finally, some good news.
Oregon man unconstitutionally fined a man $500 for saying, I am an engineer. A federal judge has finally ruled.
This is a bizarre...
Now, how slowly did the wheels of justice turn here? So, like, 2014?
She got the speeding ticket in 2013.
I remember when we reported this story, and I was like, wasn't that ages ago? Like,
yeah.
Well, that was even... We weren't even doing this in 2014, so... It had gone on for a while.
We covered it at some point, though.
Well, that was... See, so he didn't do his crusade till 2014, and then it, you know, went through the bureaucracy. I don't think they fined him till maybe like 2016 or something.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's not an engineer, he can't do this kind of thing. And it's like, as a citizen, like, if you can show that something is wrong, great. I mean, for the purposes of a lawsuit, this seems fine. This was definitely a bureaucratic overreach. I really hope that that guy has like hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars in legal fees that he can recover from the state.
Well, they didn't mention anything about any civil penalties or anything like that. Just that he doesn't have to pay the $500.
I really, whoever had that idea probably should, like, to fine him for that, should probably be removed from their position.
Oh, they should be removed from the human population, I believe. And here's some rare good news from a source that you would never, ever expect to get free and open source software from.
The NSA to release a free reverse engineering tool, Ghidra.
Which, oh, by
good
the
guy,
way,
NSA.
Ghidra is property of Toho Company. That's the monster from Godzilla. Somebody owns that. Can they just use that? I guess it's a different, like...
The NSA unironically names their software after a monster from Japanese.
He has five heads.
That's got to be a reference to the Five Eyes countries. That's just got to be.
Could be, yeah. I think he shot lightning bolts out of his mouth. He was very powerful.
Well, this software is not as powerful as IDA Pro, but they're hoping that the open source, the people pick it up because it will be open source and make it better, make it a little more bug-free. So it's apparently a good tool from the contractors that have used it, commented on it for this article. So maybe we can download it and take a look. Maybe Level 1 can do a video and be added to yet another list.
Yeah, well, it is open source.
I would just get check marks next to our name on the one big list.
I would expect it to be...
Like gold stars.
Like, coming from the NSA, the first thing you think is, oh, they're going to use this to track researchers. But it's open source, so somebody would find that. I don't know.
A bunch of really awesome researchers and a bunch of bored 13-year-olds are going to be what's on that list.
Well, I'll tell you one of the... You know, I owned just a tiny bit of Bitcoin, so it hurts me to see it crash and go down. But one thing I liked about it was the silence of the Bitcoin sycophants. Good Lord, were they vocal. And
HODL.
But they are not yet totally silenced, because they're still filing lawsuits.
NVIDIA has been slapped with a class action lawsuit tied to the cryptocurrency implosion. So what happened here was NVIDIA told their investors, hey, we're on the pulse of cryptocurrency. It's cool. We got it. We're going to be able to turn on a dime with the demand here. So when the bubble, you know, implodes, we're not going to be left with a ton of inventory. What that actually meant, apparently, was that
we're going to be left with a ton of inventory.
We're going to be left with a ton of inventory that we're going to pawn off onto our partners who probably don't want anything to do with it either. And NVIDIA's stock has suffered significantly.
But they also soared significantly before that.
Yeah.
So it's not as big a crash as it seems if you compare it to pre-crypto craze.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like a revision to the mean.
Yeah, I don't agree with the lawsuit.
But they did.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, but they were telling people at the top, hey, don't worry. This is here to stay. So, I mean, listen, it's gambling. If you're playing the stock market, you're playing the lottery. So they will lie as much as they can. And maybe they didn't even know. I mean, I don't think they would have purposely wounded themselves like that. So they probably believe their own hype.
Well, there's a lot of gamers that, you know, have gotten some really deeply discounted 1080 Ti's. And those sold out pretty quick, from what I understand. So,
well, in this country, we have a lot of crazy, crazy lawsuits. People want to blame the gun when somebody gets shot. They want to blame the car manufacturer when somebody gets killed. They always want to blame the person with the most money. And you know who has all the money is Apple.
Literally Apple. The Fifth Circuit Court has said that Apple cannot be held liable for a car crash caused by someone reading text messages. The legal argument here was amazing. It was like, look, the person using the Apple phone basically has a Pavlovian response to text messages, and they will read while driving. So Apple knows that because they filed a patent for a device or software or something to detect when somebody is driving to prevent them from using their phone. And the argument here was, well, because Apple knew about that, we think it's reasonable to conclude that, you know, somebody in their customer base would be doing this. And Apple should be responsible. And the judge was like, no, that's not reasonable.
It's a personal responsibility thing. Yeah. Like, don't pick up your phone when you're driving.
What filthy phrase did you use, Krista? We don't say that in America anymore. And moving on to across the pond to Germany. I think this is the beginning of a lot of embarrassment.
Yes.
Because one reporter who had gone through, I think he described it as like 3%, said he had already found major, major stories in this dump.
So the Vice headline is, hundreds of German lawmakers have been targeted in mass cyber attack. Apparently, some hacking group had been targeting the German politicians, basically every political party except for the
literal neo-Nazis.
Yeah. The far right guys, yeah.
They've got personal photos and credit card numbers, stuff that goes way beyond their government employment. Now, something about this does not add up. It's probably either a nation state or it's probable that it's either a nation state or there's some kind of internal system that Germany is using to spy on its own people, and that's actually what got hacked.
It wasn't just one kind of hack either. They were in their Outlook, they were in their Gmail, they were in their personal financial accounts.
Their iTunes accounts.
It was crazy.
What music do they listen to?
Probably the reason the far right one wasn't hit is probably because the nature of, you know, what the stuff they're into, they're super paranoid.
Yeah.
And they're encrypting.
Not using devices.
They're properly two-factoring and stuff like that. So, which is hilarious that the one entity of government that takes security seriously.
But the people that probably shouldn't, yeah.
I don't know much about that political party, so I can't judge them. But certainly based on what the media tells us, yeah, they're a bit of a fringe group.
Maybe somebody that is local in Germany knows a little bit more about what's going on can fill us in the comments engagement challenge.
Now, this is where we get two sets of comments from both sides
arguing
that are completely polarized.
Well, I'm going to make a level one prediction, and it's we're going to find out that the people that are responsible for that hack are not the obvious people, which is, you know, like Russia or China or something.
But it'll come from a Chinese IP address. Yeah. Well, speaking of China, Larry Kudlow, who is a White House technology advisor, has some implications.
I read this article more than any other article in this week's news. And so the White House advisor Kudlow says that Apple technology may have been picked off by China. And he's talking about, you know, Apple's having a hard time. Their sales are down. You know, China has said, oh, we should, you know, encourage everybody to buy Huawei phones, blah, blah, blah. He didn't mention a thing about the tariffs and the whole Huawei executive arrest and the stuff going on in Canada. I mean, that's really what set it off. Like, that might have been the straw that broke the camel's back amid all this other stuff. But he didn't even mention anything going on with Canada or the Huawei CFO, which I feel like was the catalyst. I mean, that really was the straw that broke the camel's back to, you know, sort of have the nationalist thing to be like, stop buying iPhones, let's all buy Huawei phones. Why would he not mention that?
Who do we need to get arrested here in America to stop people from doing that?
Tim Cook. Tim Cook needs to be like exposed to some sort of like, something that everybody will be like, oh my gosh.
No, it's a Hydra. I mean, you know, because
cut off one head and more come back.
Right, yeah.
Well, Johnny Ive is going back to be in charge of design because of, you know, Apple's freaking out because they're not making as much money as they're making money hand over fist over foot, and now they're just making money hand over fist, and they're like, damn, what happened?
It's because they charge too much for their products.
Pretty much. Oh, and
this is someone who owns an iPad. It was too expensive for what it was.
Well, there's more about that in tomorrow's episode. So we've talked about this before. In a nuclear surveillance state, warfare and espionage have changed dramatically.
Yeah.
It's much harder to fight wars because a button ends all that. It's mutually assured destruction. And it's, you know, unless you're like, you know, just beating on the Middle East, which is what we all do. Or Southeast Asia.
It's like
Asia.
The youngest sibling.
Take your aggression out on Southeast Asia.
If you have to go to Southeast, if you can't go to Southeast Asia, you go to the Middle East, you know, just to work out your aggression. But spying, you know, we talk about facial recognition and all these biometrics. Spying's getting harder too. So what do? You hack. And what is the pinnacle of hacking? Probably AI, which is why those in power live in fear.
It curbs on AI exports? Silicon Valley fears losing its edge. So the Commerce Department is considering national security restrictions on artificial intelligence. Some worry that it could stunt this industry in the U.S. This is spooky similar to how encryption was treated in the late 80s and 90s, because encryption was classified as ammunition, which is, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. AI could be classified as ammunition. And through that, they regulated the export of programs with strong encryption. So, like, you could export 56-bit encryption, but not 128-bit encryption. So there is historical precedent for this. But I think that it didn't work for encryption. And so I don't think there's any reason to think that it will work for AI where it failed for encryption.
Well, in China, you are not allowed to tweet at all. The firewall actually blocks it. But of course,
no,
as we all know,
wall.
Giant walls aren't super effective in the modern age. Donald Trump.
Topical.
But
relevant.
So people use VPNs and they tweet all, you know, and but it's not the plebs of China don't seem to be in on it. It's more like the, you know, technologically advanced and the higher social classes. So when they find out that you're tweeting, they have a new tactic.
Chinese censors go old school to clamp down on Twitter. They knock at your door. So this talks about how a guy had made some posts on Twitter, you know, being critical of the government. They showed up and demanded he take the tweets down. He didn't. So they deleted all of the tweets on his account. Literally all of them.
He basically gave them a, what are you going to do about it? And they deleted his Twitter.
And they showed him what they were going to do about it.
That's probably better than beating him with a pipe wrench, I mean.
Well,
you don't know that that's not what they did later.
Yeah, they could still activate the pipe wrench plan at any moment. That's not off the table. But for now, you know, just get that stuff out of there. And they talk about several people who have also gotten visits. They actually came to that guy's work, not his house. But other people have been visited at home, and they do talk about how it's kind of chilling. But it's funny that you're already doing something you're not allowed to do, but then you take it a little too far. So,
Oh, I can't wait for that to come to the West.
Oh, yeah. Well, they wouldn't leave you to talk about the results. You'd go straight to a black site,
yeah,
you know, and get waterboarded probably. Well, speaking of China, they have done something very impressive, and we talked about this in previous weeks. They were going to try to put a lander on the far side of the moon. Well,
here's the news story for you. They were successful.
This
is exciting. China makes history as the first to land a spacecraft on the far side of the moon. This is genuinely exciting news out of China. This is a huge engineering feat. and they explored a crater, I think, and they're looking for water and they're doing some other stuff. So this could be a good prelude to, you know, a manned mission in the future. And so, of course, NASA responded.
Yeah, when I see something like that, I think to myself, damn it, we're the moon people. What are we going to do about this, NASA? And NASA says, we got you, fam.
So
you didn't have your transition in time.
No, ready. they put out the announcement. They're like, no one has set foot on the moon in almost 50 years, except for China with the robot. That could soon change because
that's not a foot.
Yeah, well,
that's a landing claw.
That's a computer, a single
claw or a wheel.
So working with companies and other space agencies, NASA is planning to build a moon orbiting space station and a permanent home.
Now they've got
to flex on China.
Well, they've got a smart plan here. And that is, they want basically an international space station orbiting the moon. And so they're going to be a hub for all these, you know, SpaceX, Blue Origin companies.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, just come and dock with us and pay a small fee of, you know, $500 million.
Easy.
Fuel up. And they're going to expect those people to be the ones to build the facilities on the surface of the moon.
They're basically just building a gas station, is what you're
essentially
saying.
Essentially, yes.
They had some mock-ups there, too. I mean,
the
mock-ups
were compelling.
I didn't see that.
Which is weird because, like, they have mock-ups for the thing that they're not going to build. But, so there would be capsule.
And, where's the thing?
There you go.
Oh, that looks cool.
It's like, oh, I'm in the treadmill.
It looks like a tiny house.
Yeah, it is a tiny house.
Oh, it should be on Exploring Alternatives.
And I imagine this is like a big circle. So this is just one unit out of a bunch.
Yeah. The regolith is a good shield for radiation because otherwise there is none.
It's like, it kind of reminds me of the space things in Imperion. Where like you'd find the random trading post with the aliens. It looks kind of like that.
You think they stole their idea from that?
They're like, listen,
the designer.
This little indie game.
But that, so you wonder, what are people going to do on the moon? Well, the idea is they know there's ice up there somewhere. They just don't know how much. So you'd be like an ice farmer or miner, and you would turn that into oxygen and fuel and water to give to the private guys who are still exploring, basically.
Do you keep Doritos and beef jerky, too?
I don't know if there are pockets of Doritos and beef jerky on the moon, but there could be.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, it's like a gas station. You got to have your beef jerky, coffee drinks, energy drinks.
Like bad keychains.
Yeah.
Remember when...
weird body jewelry.
Of course, this is no longer the case, but for a while there, after cassettes were phased out for CDs, you could still get cassettes at gas stations. And they were terrible. Yeah.
That was probably just old stock.
Yeah. Well, speaking of social media and countries that don't want you to use it, Iran has joined the ranks. Well, I mean, they were already there.
Iran has joined the game.
They've added a new one to crack down on.
Oh, I just hit the thing.
Iran is cracking down on social media with a ban on Instagram, except for their president still uses Instagram, so mixed messages.
I like to imagine that their president does, like, makeup tutorials on Instagram. Like the thought makeup, you know?
This is weird because the guy... So they put up this resolution to get rid of it, and then they didn't pass it or something, and then it timed out. So it gave this guy the power to just automatically exercise it, and he did. But there wasn't much fanfare to it, and a lot of prominent people are still Instagramming.
Yay, so, VPNs.
I don't know, but add that one to the list. They think it's, you know, it spreads, you know, bad ideals and stuff like that.
In some parallel timeline... There's definitely, like, a situation where, like, U.S. political forces are telling U.S. citizens, hey, you should provide a VPN to people in other countries because they're not as free as you. And, like, that's some kind of, like, I don't know, information warfare or something. But now it's just like, no, we don't. Let's not mess with that.
Well, they don't want the idea of VPNs to be mainstream.
But they have to.
They like knowing where you are, by your IP address.
And knowing what your Twitter login is so they can log in and delete it if things get real dicey.
Yeah. Well, I always say when we look at those Chinese stories that most of the American government is looking at that and being like, oh, yeah, I want that.
Yeah, we should do that.
That sounds good.
That is not...
The thing is, here people are armed to the teeth, so they have to like be a little more sneaky about it, I think.
Yes. Oh, they're going to fix that soon enough.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to security, let's talk about password managers. That's where you, instead of trying to remember all those passwords or just let Chrome remember them, you put them in a nice, secure place with software that's unhackable.
2.4 million Blur users, that's the password manager, have found their data exposed online. The company says the data breach didn't expose any actual passwords, but stored inside the Blur accounts, but it did expose the encrypted version of the password that you use to access Blur. I mean, an online password manager, it seems almost like it's a good idea. It's almost like a drive-through liquor store.
It's not a terrible idea.
Those exist. I mean,
they do exist.
There's a way that those could be used responsibly, but it could also promote irresponsible use. I can understand if somebody might think that, but they did at least sort of their mea culpa. They were like, "Yeah, we're supposed to be a company that prevents this kind of thing. We're really embarrassed." So
yes, you should be.
What else can you say? Well, Krista, I know you are a big fan of the WeatherChannel.com.
Weather.com. And they have the highest quality clickbait.
The clickbait
in the business
is good. Now, do you use the app on your phone?
I don't use the app.
Well, that's good because it tracks you.
Yet another instance of if you can possibly use the web version, don't install the app. So it's like the Weather Channel app has been sued over claims it sold location data. The Los Angeles City Attorney's Office issued a cloudy forecast with the possibility of civil penalties for the popular Weather Channel app on Friday.
I like this story because like that subtitle. It's like, oh, really? Really? Did you make that? But this person was so proud of that, they led the first line of the story with that same thing. Andrew Blankstein.
We see you. We see you.
Yeah, it turns out there's some compelling evidence in this, and it turns out that this app may have been just selling as, like, literally monetizing every little piece of data
I think it's more than evidence. I think it's pretty much, ironclad.
Open shut.
And they were not just, like, they were taking your location every time you moved. One guy was tracking it and found 1,400 instances in a day where they hit his location. And the idea is to do that location-targeted
advertising.
Yeah. They actually built their own version of that in order to sell.
Meanwhile, they can't get if the weather is right anymore.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
weather.gov is not bad.
The weather
NOAA.gov is what you're thinking of.
The weather game's expensive. And I understand you have to try to make your money back somehow, but that's not the best way. Now, they do give you a very vague terms of service line or two in the app about how they're going to do that. But when they ask you to turn on location, they sell it as, we need this to tell you what the weather is in your location. So Los Angeles thinks that's enough to go forward with some penalties.
We need millimeter accuracy data on your location, not just your zip code or your 5-mile radius. We need to know, and we need real-time updates on where you are.
Because it might be raining.
Yeah.
But it might not be.
It might start raining where you are, and you wouldn't even know without the app because you wouldn't feel it.
I'm all of a sudden drenched. I don't understand what's happening. Thanks, Weather Channel app. It's raining.
Speaking of, so you gave me that weather radio the other day. It actually went off yesterday.
Oh, what was the alert?
It was just a test. Oh, yeah. The emergency broadcast.
I was
going to
say, yesterday was a beautiful day.
Yeah,
that happens every week at that time.
Yeah.
Well, you might think, shame on you, Weather Channel. How could you do this? But it turns out they're not the first or the only to have that idea.
This popular weather app collects too much data, security experts say. Now, this is in New Delhi, India, but it's a weather app built by a Chinese group. So it's collecting even more data than the Weather Channel app, and it's also subscribing people for paid services. And well, trying to. It's trying to like use their data to sign them up for services, I guess, that the people that wrote the app can get a commission for. So it's almost like fraudulently using your data for other things.
And it's not just location. They're stealing everything that they can. So
don't install apps on your phone. Don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, weather apps, I would say, almost always a bad idea. Apps in general. If you can use the website, I would never use an app.
Yeah.
Don't you have Twitter installed?
Nope.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've always
used
the web.
Why would you? What's the difference?
I'm surprised that you don't.
The app actually is a lot faster, better. The web interface has been gimped deliberately by Twitter.
Are you tweeting so furiously that you need that extra speed?
Well, sometimes the app glitches and does weird stuff. So it's like brings up the keyboard and then closes the keyboard. It's like, I can't type in the text box.
How can I tweet?
You just have to use emojis.
I can't even live like this. Well, this is a great story. And we could almost, I guess this doesn't really count as AI, but it's a beautiful thing when one automated system attacks and destroys another automated system.
This one's probably not good, though, because it'll lead to more spam. But yeah. Motherboard has the article that researchers have fooled reCAPTCHA, which is Google's, you know, CAPTCHA service, with Google's own text-to-speech service. This new method has 90% success rate at tricking the robot into thinking that it's human. So if you're not familiar with CAPTCHAs and anti-spam technology, when you have to, like, type, like, it shows you the mangled picture of a word and you have to type it in, that prevents robots from spamming whatever service it is that you're using.
Oh, because they will spam.
Yes. But, you know, somebody could be visually impaired, and so Google offers an alternative for that, which is an audio CAPTCHA. And so the audio CAPTCHA will have noise and, you know, other stuff in it. But when you recognize the audio CAPTCHA, when you listen to it and type the word in that way, you can just feed that to Google's own assistive technologies to convert that speech back into text. And that's what they did here.
80% success rate, which with CAPTCHAs, you can always try more than once.
Yeah.
So at 80%, even if it fails twice, that third one's almost guaranteed to hit.
Yep.
So
that's not good. That means there's going to be an uptick of spam.
Now, these guys were...
I hate dealing with spam.
They were decent bros, and they let the reCAPTCHA team know what they were doing and how good they were doing it. But the reCAPTCHA team was like, go ahead and release it. What can we do? It's our own technology.
If you have hearing or vision impairment, adding more noise or making it worse is going to be even harder on those users. So I don't know what you could do to really fix it, like demand a blood sample, but we're not there yet with the technology.
Well, I'm sure somebody's going to patent
for drink that. Verification can.
Actually, we have a story coming up that's very similar to that. Well, but first, Wendell, you are a Skype for Android user.
Yeah.
I know that about you.
Yeah.
It is because
it's you want to be.
Horrible. The messaging does not work. It does always not says, work. This user cannot receive messages.
It's really been bad since Microsoft bought them.
I see the little green dot.
Well, in order to, like, you'll type and then it just freezes up for like a solid 20 seconds.
It is just, it's
garbage.
It's the worst. And not only is it bad software, it's now a security risk.
Yeah, you can't unlock an Android phone, no problem. Just take a Skype call. This app allows passcode bypass. So if you've got somebody's phone, you can call, and you know that they're using Skype, you can call them with Skype, answer the call in Skype, and then when you send them messages or anything like that, they'll link to other applications in Skype, they can get to those. The phone's not completely unlocked, but you can still get to like text messages and emails and all that kind of stuff.
Anything you can open with a link.
Yeah.
So this is big for law enforcement, obviously, because, hey, we got this phone. We know the number. Just Skype it, and we can go in and look at message history and stuff like that. Or curious spouses, Krista. Are you guys going to share passwords?
No. I do know his passwords only because we share a pizza account to order pizzas.
He might not use the same password for everything. I think he's smarter than that.
I don't know.
He's in the know.
But I want to know when you're going to demand a scan of the veins in his hand.
Well, foreshadowed this with your blood test. Like, what is more intimate than...
Taking a blood test together?
The makeup of your veins.
Motherboard has the article, hackers have made a fake hand to beat vein authentication. So there's like a hand scan scanner that looks for you know, veins in your hand. But if you can get a scan of someone's veins in their hand, it's not super difficult to print a fake hand that'll fool the authentication system.
Yeah, check it out. So they print the vein, like this scan is not three-dimensional. So it's got this flat layer where it's got this stuff under it. And then they just put this faux meat layer on top of it, and they make these little hands.
It looks like weird art projects.
And they
like...
work.
Yay, hand scanners.
I got to imagine that is a lot of work. Even though it is a 2D vein scan.
You're going to like to capture the vein scan. You're going to need some kind of technology that you can do it like a transparent, like the ATM skimmers. Like you put a transparent overlay on the hand scanner so that it can see, but you get your own scan. That would be a thing.
You think like a government entity with unlimited budget, could they ever do like a handshake sniffer?
Oh, yeah, probably.
That would work.
Yeah, it's like my fake anime. Like you go to shake the guy. Oh, it's like, oh, man, that general lost his arm in a battle and he's got a really high-tech prosthetic. Nope. Scanning your hand.
Well, up until now.
Need your veins.
We, I mean, of course, we've seen a lot of rootkit problems. Was it Superfish was the one?
That one was from Lenovo.
Lenovo, yeah.
That was not technically a rootkit, but could lead to rootkits.
And then there was the Sony rootkit on the Celine Dion CD. Remember that one?
They never got punished for that. That's terrible.
But with the advent of UEFI, malicious rootkits had kind of become a thing of the past. They'd done it in, you know, researchers had done it, but no one had ever actually done it in the wild until now.
Yeah. The first ever UEFI rootkit tied to SEDNET, Advanced Persistent Threat, has been detected. So I think this was ESET was doing the research here. They found a UEFI rootkit in the wild. And this is the same, like, Fancy Bear. This is the Fancy Bear group, apt28. Same group is probably responsible for this. Although, you can't really tell.
Well, could be the Chinese, could be the Russians, could be pretending as them. So there's a software called LoJack that you can put on a laptop. And it's similar to the, I think LoJack is the carjacking one too, right?
Yeah.
And it will notify you if your laptop's been stolen, you can track it. And of course, to make it persistent, so the thieves don't just format, it lives in the UEFI. So these guys took that and modified it and made a malicious version of that.
Now, another aspect to this is that they were able to just change a single byte. So like the LoJack domain for like loading the software, because the LoJack stuff doesn't live entirely in the UEFI, but they were able to change a single byte and then squat on that domain. So it looks like a typo. You wouldn't even necessarily notice the byte change if you're using like a Unicode character. And so that was what they used to actually deploy their malicious payload, because otherwise you would have gotten the LoJack payload, which is, you know, quote unquote, legit payload.
I wonder where they got that registered, because you think almost every country would agree to take that down, right?
Yeah. Well, can't take it down if you don't know about it. I mean,
But now we do. And that had been used on really high-level targets, so it seems like it probably was well-funded.
Yeah, the article had the list of countries. It wasn't U.S. targets or anything like that.
It was
that,
like Eastern Europe.
So if you were in that country, you might check your stuff.
Politician in that? You think a lot of Eastern European politicians watch Level 1 News?
Maybe a lot.
Maybe the German politicians need to get their stuff checked?
Well, they're Western Europe.
I think all politicians watch this.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
It's required listening.
They might learn a thing or two.
They get together on the weekend. They eat beef jerky. They watch the Patreon version.
The one thing that we can say about Level 1 is that we don't have an agenda other than really just like education and like let's try to distill this down to like how it really is and what's going on, because there's so much spin in some of these articles, like the whole China thing with Apple. And it's like you didn't even mention the CFO thing. So I just. Makes me really question the credibility.
We were going over the stories. Wendell's like, I have a real problem with this story. Like, you said it pretty seriously.
No, it was the reporter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how could you leave that out? I mean, that's like a big deal. It's like, it's more political than technological. And the two are going together, but politicians misunderstanding both creates a quagmire of insanity.
Well, I think that phrase represents all of 2018 and going into 2019, more political than technological.
Yeah.
Right?
But the technology is being used like a blunt instrument by people that are just...
Or in the case of China, it's being used like a scalpel.
China's getting good at that, though. And that's the scary thing. It's like, I wish that our people were at least... But no, it's like, it's all ham-fisted.
but that's the thing about it. Like, do you want them to be evil and intelligent? Or evil and stupid.
Evil and detectably evil versus evil and undetectably evil.
Yeah. Well, speaking of evil, the 9/11 attacks. You know, it's amazing sometimes to think about how long ago that was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like that thing where you start to get old. It's just everything just compresses. But yeah, it turns out. The Dark Overlord. Now you're saying, who's the Dark Overlord? As if you don't know.
Some sort of hacking group.
He has hacked the a law firm that was working on these 9/11 cases, which are still going through the courts. And he claims to have a lot of juicy information.
Yeah. So these hackers have threatened to dump insurance files related to the 9/11 attacks. And so this is a lot of potentially very politically sensitive information, or maybe not. Maybe it's all old news. Maybe it's all the stuff that we know. I mean, the conspiracy theory nuts will be saying that like this is the whole like Saudi Arabia connection to whatever. I don't know. Motherboard's got the article. They go into that a little bit. But this seems a little bit like extortion. And, well, it is exactly
this extortion. This is textbook extortion.
So there are, there are some people in the media that have reported it like as if it's not extortion, but it totally is.
Well, I think technically this is ransom.
Well, yeah.
Not extortion.
Mm.
So, but if the Saudi Arabia thing, I think that's like toward the top of the conspiracy.
Yeah.
It's like the stuff you can skim off the top. There's a fair likelihood that they had some involvement there. And I do think it's related to those court cases.
Yeah.
Because those are the ones that are still sort of shaken out.
Some of them have been sealed mysteriously. It's like, why would this be sealed? It doesn't make any sense.
I think that is probably the thing about the 9/11 conspiracies that is the most poorly handled, maybe let's say, is how hard they worked to make it all secret.
Yeah.
Which, of course, just fuels all that speculation.
Speaking of things that people should work harder to make secret, let's talk about your Chromecast configuration.
And the number one YouTube channel.
Not us.
PewDiePie. So hackers are taking over Chromecast to promote PewDiePie's channel. So it turns out if you've got certain universal plug-and-play routers, you can get to any Chromecast or all Chromecasts behind that universal plug-and-play router. So you can broadcast a message to Chromecasts.
A message like this?
Yes. Attention, your Chromecast Smart TV is exposed to the public internet and is exposing sensitive information about you. To find out more, visit here. Oh, and you should also subscribe to PewDiePie. Greetings from Hacker Giraffe. Well, hello, Hacker Giraffe. How are you?
Now, pro tip, I wouldn't click on that link.
Yeah, I was going to say, that would be even more suspicious.
Although it does seem like these guys are doing a service and, you know, just having some fun with it, but also trying to get some subscribers. I imagine the conversion rate here is pretty low.
It's not the best advertising campaign I've ever seen.
How long is it going to be before, like, you know, you have hackers that are like, you know, hello, blah, blah, blah. Can you please click on this so that I can get some free loot in Fortnite? And then, you know, that's just the whole...
The dabs on them.
Yeah. And that's just, like, that's the whole hack. It's like, well, I'm sorry to hack your computer. I'll give you your stuff back. Please just do this thing for me.
They won't do it like that. They'll make the link, like, you know, click here for hot teens in your area.
Yeah. So, hot women in your area.
Hot available women, Krista.
Oh, that's right.
And guess what? You're not anymore.
I'm going to get all the planning done this month. And that'd be done.
She already toast. Brought in a big stack of bridal magazines to the Twitch stream. It's like, what are we going to do with these?
I wanted you guys to make fun of them, but then I forgot to announce. So I'll have to announce again tonight.
I look forward to playing more RimWorld. I'm getting really into the story of our colony.
Invested.
That is the best thing about RimWorld is...
making up the story.
They call that... what is it? Something gameplay where it's like the story just creates itself.
I feel like Skyrim does that too, but yeah, I don't know what it's called.
The comments will tell us, but yeah, it is amazing that like you actually get invested in these little characters.
We saved Scum 3 times to save Jaguar. He's our best miner.
He's got the wooden foot, so he doesn't move very well. He gets
shot. He just got married. Like we couldn't let him go.
Well, tomorrow we'll be talking about some business news and probably maybe a little social media and design, I think, is what we'll mix in tomorrow.
Woo! See you then.
Bye.